Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 91, Falcon's Revenge. I am your host, the Hoff Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Ohayo gozaimasu.
Welcome. We are back to discuss the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo, and we've also got our big topic this week, which is what we want out of the upcoming Nintendo Universal theme park. But before we get to that, let's kick it off with some impressions of the latest games, specifically Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which just released recently on the Switch. According to Nintendo, it is the fastest-selling Mario Kart game ever, with 459,000 copies sold on the first day in the U.S. alone.
Dang.
The game has 48 tracks, more than 40 characters, a new battle mode, additional items, the ability to hold two items at once, and it's arguably the best Mario Kart game of all time. Pete, I know you picked this up and have been playing it. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I mean, it's Mario Kart. If you own the Wii U version, it's hard to necessarily justify a second ownership. But
you have a point there.
The thing is, if you have a Switch, this is kind of what you're waiting for. You want games like this. You want a game that you can take on the road where you can easily play it two-player with just the one console. And even though it's the same game, it's got all the bells and whistles. It's got all the extra features. It's kind of the Criterion Collection version of Mario Kart.
Yeah, it is the definitive version of the
has
game.
Has everything you could possibly want, including a device to play it on. You could literally be camping and you could play this game.
Ah, yes. You make a very good point. Yeah, it's got all the great courses and characters from the Wii U version, all the former DLC content, new characters like the Inklings, King Boo, Dry Bones, Bowser Jr. The new battle mode maps are pretty darn fun. I especially like the Splatoon map. I think it fits really well into the Mario Kart universe, and I love that remix Splatoon music. I think it just works really, really great. And I love that new jail mode where you're catching your opponents with the piranha plants and then trying to escape the jail. I'm not sure the scoring system works right as to, you know, how many times you escape, because like that only works if how many times you get captured. It's kind of weird. But whatever, it was still a really, really enjoyable mode, and it really stood out for being a lot of fun. I'm not sure I care for regular balloon battle as much as I used to. I'm more of a Grand Prix guy, more than a battle arena guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But still, everything that's in here is really good content. And that was sort of the one big complaint about the Wii U version, is that it did not have a real dedicated battle mode.
Right.
And now they have fixed that up. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, taken on its own, it is an excellent, excellent game.
Yeah, my biggest gripe with the online battle mode is that you aren't able to select what type of battle mode you want to play.
Really?
At least that's what I've
seen. I've done it local. I haven't done it online, so that's bizarre.
If you play it online, it's just random. I believe that the levels determine what you play, but don't take my word on that. I believe that if you pick certain levels, you end up playing a certain style of game. But yeah, it's a little weird because you end up jumping around through all these different types, and you know, some are more fun than others, unfortunately. As you mentioned, Balloon Battle isn't the funnest, but overall, it's a really fun online play.
Yeah, that's the one thing I haven't done. I have not tried out much online, but all the offline stuff, it seemed pretty darn great. Now, have you tried out any of the new features like the smart steering and the auto acceleration?
So smart steering, I didn't even realize I had it on. I thought I was just really good. And then I realized that, like, I could not ride off of a ledge.
Yeah, and you can't take shortcuts either.
Yeah, so that being said, I also couldn't take a shortcut where I was like, huh. Mm-hmm. That being said, it really doesn't seem for me to interfere with my ability to win matches. I've definitely come in first a handful of times. I'm not, like, a terrible player or anything. And I actually think that in a way, you know, if you're playing this with friends, especially friends who aren't super, super used to the Mario Kart franchise,
mm-hmm.
not that anyone isn't at this point, but there are still some people out there who aren't, you know, they don't play games all the time.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to play with young kids, other family members who aren't really big gamers, I think it's a really great option for them. And I think that's who this is for.
Yeah, exactly. And it eliminates the ability to have that, you know, basically level-ending crash or wipeout where all of a sudden you know that you're just going to demolish them. It's pretty nice to have, actually.
Yeah, it helps level the playing field, I would say. Although for me, it actually did mess me up, the smart steering, that is.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of times, so I was playing on Shy Guy Falls, you know, the part, you know, towards the end of the course where the route splits, you can go either upper or lower path.
Yep.
I took the lower path two of the times around the course, and both times it drove me off the course and into the rough area. And I'm pretty sure it was only because of the, you know, so-called smart steering. So
yeah,
that's some, maybe they can fix in a patch or something.
Yeah, I think that was actually me that did that.
Yeah, I will blame you. And the other accelerate, you know, that's fine. I mean, with the Wii U version, my hand would actually tend to cramp up holding down the accelerator. That was not a problem from what I've experienced on the Switch version. But still, you know, it's kind of nice to be able just to play without having to worry about holding down that button if you want. I actually did try doing a couple courses with one hand behind my back. All I did was steer and let the acceleration go automatic. I was only playing 100cc, so the computer opponents weren't too tough. But I wasn't able to drift with only, you know, one arm.
Right.
But I still managed to win the race.
Nice.
Thanks to that auto acceleration. So, yeah, it's a reasonable addition.
Yeah, that brings me to another point. Playing this with the Pro Controller is, like, for me, just like night and day difference. I don't know why that controller is so good. And
yeah,
for
it's excellent.
For this game, it really shines, I think.
Yeah, that's what I like using the best. I didn't try the motion control. I did try playing with just the Joy-Cons. But yeah, I think I agree with you that I did like the Pro Controller the most.
Cool.
Have you noticed that having the ability to have two items affected your strategies at all so far?
You know, it definitely makes me always gun for the box that has the two items. And it's like kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You kind of live and die by it because often that's what everyone else is going for. So you end up going for the one that ends up going missing right in front of you.
Yeah, that can happen.
But I do notice that, you know, it definitely lets you pad your lead a little bit because you know what item you have and you can burn through items you don't want.
Mm-hmm. And you can continue to drag one behind you and still have something in reserve.
Exactly. It definitely adds to another level of strategy and depth in Mario Kart that I think is always kind of welcome.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really affect me too much. But I think, you know, the more I play, the more I'll, you know, be likely to develop some sort of strategies to use that to my advantage.
Yeah. And I'd be remiss not to mention that the online still is missing a actual voice feature, which would be great. So who knows? Maybe that they'll patch it and add that when the paid online service comes out later this year. You never know.
Maybe. I mean, if you're just fighting other people, I don't really miss it. But I mean, all the versus modes include team-based play. It would be nice to be able to coordinate with your teammates, especially like the Shine Thief mode or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely don't miss the trash talking, but I would like to talk to friends if I'm playing online.
Yep. So I have to admit, I actually did not buy this game. I was only over at a friend's house playing it there. Like you said, if you have the Wii U version, you've got most of what is in this game. It's certainly a step up, but you know, for me personally, I don't really feel the urge that I need to have a portable Mario Kart 8 yet. And I'm not, you know, the hugest battle mode fan. I mean, certainly there's good stuff there, but, you know, is it worth a new $60 purchase? For me, not yet. So for me, I'm just content with the Wii U version. I went back to my Wii U version. I've actually been playing the Wii U version more. So for now, I think that's what I'm going to settle with. But there's no question, this is the best version of Mario Kart that's out there.
Yeah. And no joke, there was a moment where I was plugged into my television playing the game, and for one brief second I thought, you know what, I literally just paid $65 to play the same game in the same way all over again. But you know, ultimately being able to like take it to a party, like this is the realization of that commercial where they're on a rooftop and people are playing Mario Kart. That could actually happen, so that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is true. It's true. On the other hand though, I'm realizing that, you know, between Mario Kart 8 and Breath of the Wild, I really don't need a Switch just yet. I mean, if I wasn't a hardcore Nintendo fan, it'd be like, okay, I've already got a Wii U. Of course, by the fact that I have a Wii U, it proves I'm a hardcore Nintendo fan. But the two games, the two biggest games that are out there, you know, you don't really need a Switch for. It's just if you want to have the best versions, you want to have them be portable, et cetera, et cetera. So with these two games out there, now I'm really waiting for the next big thing to get people excited. Will it be ARMS? Will it be Splatoon 2? Will it be something else? I'd like to see some really good original Switch exclusive content on the way very soon.
I still think Switch is a must-have, though, if you're somebody who doesn't play games all the time, doesn't get the chance to kind of take over the television in your house for whatever reason. I still think that Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart 8 is now like a very compelling reason to own a Switch, especially if you're kind of on the fence and you can get your hands on one.
Well, I wouldn't say the reason is, you know, for the exclusive software library, but yes, I would still say it's a really great piece of hardware. Definitely worth having.
Agreed.
Of course, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is not the only new Switch game that has come out recently. Puyo Puyo Tetris also launched last week, and I didn't get that one either, but Pete, you also picked that up, right?
I did. It's a game you know and love. Two games you know and love.
This is true.
And, you know, it's... I played the demo. I liked the demo a lot.
Yep, the demo was solid. I played that as well.
Yeah, again, because the Switch has the two players right out of the box, it adds this element of multiplayer, and it was a game that I thought, you know what, I want this to always be on my system, so I picked it up digitally.
Okay.
And it's fun. It's, you know, two different style of games. It's Tetris and Puyo Puyo. The games blend together not so seamlessly in general.
Right. When I played this at the Nintendo event a couple weeks ago, I asked them about it. They're like, oh, well, basically you're alternating between the two. You can either play Tetris or you can play Puyo Puyo. Or there's this one mode where it actually switches back and forth between them like every, you know, 10 seconds or something like that, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, so that's all I played in the demo were those versions there.
Yeah, I think those are the only modes that were in the demo, now that you mention it.
Yeah, so in the release, there's this mode called Fusion.
Yeah, I saw that there. It was there in the demo, but it was sort of blacked out and you couldn't pick it. So I've been wondering, what the heck is this thing? I mean, it actually sort of combines the two in some form, doesn't it?
It does. It's strange. I've only played it a little bit, but from my understanding, how it works is... you play Puyo Puyo pieces and you play Tetris pieces, and they sort of alternate at random. You know, you can get five Puyo Puyo pieces in a row and then three Tetris pieces in a row.
But you're only maneuvering one piece at a time, not like somehow maneuvering two different pieces at once or anything.
Correct, correct.
Okay,
now,
all right.
Now, the interesting thing is you play, you know, let's say you're playing Puyo Puyo, you are trying to make pairs, and then when a Tetris piece comes in, the Tetris pieces sink to the bottom of the Puyo Puyo.
Oh, weird.
So let's say you have a Tetris straight piece and you have a pile of Puyo Puyo. You can literally just pop it into whatever pile you want, and you bring it down in a column, and it just cuts through the Puyo Puyo. But all the Puyo Puyo that are there then fall on top of that Tetris piece.
So they'll sort of rise to the top. They'll go up by four blocks then.
Exactly, but the animation has them redropping from the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
And then what you're trying to do is make the Tetris lines disappear as you would in a normal Tetris game, since they're unaffected by the Puyo. And then you end up trying to still create your Puyo Puyo pieces to get removed as well. Meanwhile, garbage is falling all over you. And the garbage comes in the way of Puyo Puyo style, where it's blocks as opposed to the Tetris garbage that kind of rises from the bottom.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's
sounds like it requires brand new strategies.
Yeah, I haven't played it too much, but I like the potential, and I actually think, you know, it's better.
That certainly sounds fun. Interesting.
It's better than what you suggested in the fact that they just added two properties together and did nothing new.
Well, that's the way the Nintendo reps explained it to me, so I'm glad to know there actually is more to it than initially met the eye.
Yeah, what do you think of the Sega, the beginning of the game?
Well, it's a very different sounding Sega, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's actually each character artist taking a turn at it. So it's kind of funny.
Oh, okay.
If you play it multiple times, you'll hear a different version.
But yeah, it's a nice homage to the classic Sega chime. Now, what I seem to notice about the game when I was playing the demo is that all the modes were focused on competitive play. Either you're playing another human opponent or you're playing a computer opponent. If you just want to relax and do just a straight-up single-player mode, is that in there?
Oh, yeah. It's actually funny. From the title screen, well, you get like four options, and two of them, one is Tetris, one is Puyo Puyo, and it literally launches you into a no-options, no-frills Tetris or Puyo Puyo game.
Huh, okay.
And you have to go into a completely different mode to access everything else. So it's really, it's actually really bizarre.
Weird.
Yeah, because the game is just littered with options at times. So the fact that from the main menu you really have like two of those options are just instant into a game and you're playing is kind of funny. That's actually the first thing I did was play Tetris, and I was like, wait a minute, this is like no difficulty Tetris, and I probably am going to be playing this for hours if I just continue on. So
just an endless mode, huh?
Nice. Yeah. At like a very easy level, so you kind of takes it easy on you unless you go into another mode.
Okay. Have you played story mode much?
I actually haven't at all, so shame on me for that.
Yeah, I heard the story is pretty wacky, so that's something to look forward to.
I actually did go through the first like dialogue of the story. It was bizarre. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to playing that on like a long trip or something.
All right. Well, cool. Good to hear. So what would you say your overall impressions of it are so far?
So far, I mean, you know what you're getting. If you like Puyo Puyo or you like Tetris,
this is true.
Or just in general, you like puzzle games, the Switch being portable makes the puzzle game element, for me, the stock rises really high on that. So I think it's a good purchase if that's what you're into.
All right, cool. Good to hear.
Yeah, and I think the price is right as well.
Yeah, it's only $40, right?
I think it's $29.99, I think.
Ah, right. 30 digital, 40 if you buy physical.
That is correct.
Either way, not a bad price. All right, moving on from there, let's discuss some news. Specifically, some big news, or perhaps you might say some XL news.
No.
I'm talking about the new Nintendo 2DS XL. It is a new variation of the 3DS. It's going to be $150, and it is coming out on July 28th. Of course, as you can tell by the name, it does not have 3D. It is 2D only. Other than that, it's a lot like the new Nintendo 3DS XL with the big screen, the right stick, the built-in NFC, just no 3D. Pete, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know about you, but I didn't see this coming, and I don't know why.
No, I certainly didn't either.
At the same time, it makes sense.
You think?
You have the Switch. It's $300. You want to buy your kids a handheld. You're not going to buy them a Switch. It's
right, but they have the old 2DS for that, and you know, it's sturdy, it's very kid friendly, it's very affordable, it's under $100. So I would think that would be the system you would get kids, you know?
It's funny. I mean, somehow they made it something that I want to play, and I almost like want to purchase it for myself, but I have to like remember, Pete, you're an adult, you don't need this. You already have a 3DS XL. There is virtually no reason you need this, but I do like the design. I like the colors.
Yeah, the design's pretty good.
I like that the screens are pretty big. It just, in general, it feels like, again, the version that you want to own anyway. So,
well, not for me. I certainly don't. I mean, I've heard a lot of mixed reactions to this. I've heard some people seem really impressed with it, and then some people are like, well, why does this even exist? And I'm sort of into this why does it even exist camp. Because it's exactly the same as the new Nintendo 3DS XL, only without the system's most defining feature being the 3D.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure who they're selling it to, because I figure, well, you're selling it to an audience who, one, they need to have the big screen, and they want some fairly sophisticated styling, so that's why you would get that over the regular 2DS. But these people also have to be too cheap to have bought the new 3DS XL at $200, or they hate 3D so much that they just can't turn it off. And then three, these people have to be really, really late to the party since the 3DS has been out for like 6 years already.
Yeah.
So to me, that's who they're going after with this thing. And that just seems like a strange audience to go after. I don't really quite get it. Certainly, it's a nice looking system, and I understand that. It just seems a little strange to me.
Yeah.
Why you'd do that and not just the 2DS wedge doorstop thing that you'd want to get for, you know, a 6, 7, 8 year old or something like that who's not ready for something that's a little less durable.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I, at the same time, I do think that there's probably space for it, believe it or not. I think that it probably will sell.
I mean, Nintendo does always reiterate and change and modify things and release the hardware again, especially with their handhelds, with a few features missing. So, you know, it's not super surprising in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would never personally give up the 3D for $50.
Well, have you noticed the trend that in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months, a lot of the games that have come out have just not had 3D?
I have. I totally have. I don't think the upcoming Pikmin game is going to be in 3D.
Right.
Mario Maker's not in 3D. Dragon Quest VIII was not in 3D. Pokemon was almost totally not in 3D.
Yep.
And so, yeah, when you think about it that way, it's almost like Nintendo's going, okay, the 3D was a mistake. All our games aren't really in 3D anymore. Meanwhile, Reggie's running around still talking about the 3D and, you know, talking it up. And I appreciate that. And I agree with them because when it comes to movies in the theater, I never watch the 3D. But I think that, you know, glasses-free stereoscopic 3D on the 3DS is wonderful, mm-hmm. and I love it. And I say, Nintendo, it was not a mistake. I'm glad you did it. You, you know, gave me something I never knew I wanted. I think it turned out fantastic. But yes, Pete, I understand what you are saying, how, you know, they do seem to be sort of backpedaling on that 3D.
Well, I'm going to choose to take the high road and think that, you know, from a logical standpoint, that maybe the 3D just takes extra long to implement. So maybe they're trying to, you know, save on production teams. Developers at Nintendo are probably moving over to the Switch, so they probably want to keep a leaner staff than they used to. I also think that just this late in the system life cycle, there's probably a lot more they can push the system with if they keep the 3D out of it, which I know is something that they don't really talk about too often. But I
do think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason for, you know, Pokemon not being in 3D, for example, is just that it would be, you know, too taxing on the system to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, it's all a compromise. And at the end of the day, I don't use the 3D that much anymore. I used to a lot. I think that you're right in the sense that it is a good feature, and I think Nintendo still recognizes that. So don't be surprised if they make something else in the future that's 3D. But at the same time,
I will be,
it seems like it's their swan song for the 3DS, so...
It kind of does seem that way. Of course, I do acknowledge that the 3D isn't for everybody. I'm still not sure who's been holding out this long for a 2D system with this form factor. But hey, if people like it and it has an audience, that is fine by me, even if it's not personally my kind of thing.
Agreed.
As it turns out, the new Nintendo 2DS XL was revealed alongside Nintendo's financial report for fiscal year 2016, which ended on March 31st. It's a lot of numbers and nonsense and things that aren't really terribly exciting. Other than that, there were no big revelations or announcements. But let's go down some of the highlights just to discuss what was revealed in this report.
Let's do it.
First of all, Nintendo was indeed profitable. That probably doesn't come as a big surprise, mm-hmm. considering the Switch launched and Pokemon Go profits, mm-hmm. and Nintendo sold their share in the Seattle Mariners. So all that stuff would get them plenty of money, but it's good to know. Apparently, their operating profit was 29.3 billion yen, and their ordinary profit was 50.3 billion yen. I am not a financial guru, so I don't really know what that means, but those sound like decent numbers to me.
Yeah. Anytime you're saying billion, you're probably doing something all right.
Yeah, I would say so. They've already sold over 2.7 million Switches, which is, you know, just since March 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
They've also sold more than 3.7 million copies of The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. That's combined Switch and Wii U.
Right.
But this was a big surprise to me. Apparently, they've sold close to a million copies of 1-2 Switch, which I never would have guessed. And they say that Bomberman R has shipped over 500,000 copies.
Wow.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that one would have been.
I mean, I guess they picked the right price point because that's a lot of money.
Another surprising fact is that 3DS sales were up over the previous year. Not so surprising. Pokemon Sun and Moon, now over 15 million sold.
Wow.
As for what they anticipate for the next fiscal year, they're planning to ship 10 million Switch units. They're planning to keep the 3DS, or perhaps the 2DS, alive and well, with expectations of 6 million shipped. And we don't really know everything that's coming in the U.S., but man, I was looking at what they showed in Japan, and there's a bunch of really cool stuff on the way. And it's like, man, I wish we knew for sure if we were going to be getting Dragon Quest XI,
right,
or this Radiant Historia remake. I think the guys at Level 5 have said that the new Lady Layton game is coming here, but, you know, nothing, you know, too concrete has materialized yet. And then, of course, there's Dai Gyakuten and Saibon 2. So, man. There really is a lot of good stuff coming. I just wish it were going to be here in the U.S.
It's true.
I mean, we'll be getting stuff here, and I think there will be more things unveiled at E3. And I think if they are expecting to sell 6 million more units of that system, there's still a lot more we don't know about. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see what all that is.
Yeah. Did you look at any of the reports on their mobile games?
A little bit. I mean, all they really said is that there are going to be two or three more smartphone games released in the next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. One of those is going to be the already announced Animal Crossing right. game, but they didn't really say too much other than that. I mean, they tell the success of Fire Emblem and Super Mario, but I wasn't too excited about reading the details on that.
If you had your way, what franchises would they be?
The unannounced games? Mm-hmm. Well, I know I've brought this up on the podcast before, but the first one I would do would be Elite Beat Agents.
Nice.
It's perfect for a touchscreen device. Mm-hmm. It was totally overlooked when it came out on DS. So I think I would do that one. And then I'd probably do something in the WarioWare series or Rhythm Heaven or something along those lines. I think those would be perfect for a touch-only device.
Good call. I'm right there with you on Elite Beat Agents. I would actually like to see Hotel Dusk, I think. Some spinoff of that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one, but that's one that would work really well on mobile and deserves a second chance as well.
Cool.
One thing that was interesting about this financial report is they said pretty much nothing about the NES Classic or Famicom Mini or whatever you want to call it. They didn't say, oh yeah, it did great or anything like that, and they didn't give any hint as to, if there'll be a second version or a Super NES Classic or anything like that. So anyone hoping for that sort of stuff? Well, I guess we're still waiting on that one.
Right.
Also in the news this week, Nintendo has just announced the details of what will be in the first batch of DLC for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is set for release this summer. First of all, there will be a Trial of the Sword challenge mode where you have to defeat 45 waves of enemies in order to awaken the true power of the Master Sword.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of guys. Now, considering how difficult some of the enemies can be in this game, sounds like it's going to be fairly tough, I reckon.
Yeah, I can imagine that being quite the actual test of strength.
Yeah, and they say that you start out without any weapons or equipment. You just acquire them throughout the fight. So that does indeed sound like it'll live up to its name as a Trial of a Sword challenge.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. At least as far as I've played in the game, Eventide Island was one of my favorite areas of the game. It just felt the most rewarding. And, I like how it kind of makes you start from scratch and kind of earn your stuff back. Yeah, there's a real sense of completion when you beat that area.
Yeah, it's interesting how it mixes things up by suddenly making you, like you said, start from scratch. And yeah, I guess this is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, sounds fun.
In addition to that, there are going to be a couple additions to your map, including a Hero's Path mode that shows where you have been on the world map for apparently the last 200 hours of gameplay, which is a lot. I've played the game more than anybody else I know, and even I haven't spent 200 hours in it yet.
Yeah, it's good that it's that deep because you're going to need it. I'm thinking that by all said and done, I'll definitely spend at least 100 to 150 hours on this game, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already somewhere in that range. And I think this is going to be really helpful because even though I've explored a ton, there's also places I'm sure I haven't been to.
Right.
And by looking at this, you'll be like, oh, well, I've never actually been over to this area and I can go explore it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of an awesome feature when you think about it. And I can't really think of another game really implementing it that way. But I'm looking forward to retracing my steps. No pun intended.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's going to be useful. And then to go along with that, there's going to be a new item called the Travel Medallion, and that lets you create a single fast travel access point from your current location. And I can tell you, there's been plenty of times in this game where I've needed to leave somewhere and go do something, and it's like, I wish I could go back here, but I'm not near a shrine or anything. It sure would be useful if I could create a warp point here. And lo and behold, now you will be able to do that.
I literally had a moment last night playing where I thought that exact same thing. I was like, I really would like to come back to this spot. It's challenging to get here. Wish that they would have some portal spell or something. But that was just a pipe dream. But I'm glad that it's coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same thing happened with me just a couple days ago. What spot were you at?
I actually went to this island off the side of Hyrule Forest called Makar's Island. I think it's like a nod to Makar from Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing on it that I could detect. But I was thinking there might be something if I could spend just a little bit more time there. I even looked online and there just doesn't seem to be anything there. But it is there for a reason. And there's a little campfire. But for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. And I'd like to spend some more time looking at it.
And then in addition to that stuff, there is, of course, the hard mode that they had already promised. Now we found out that it's going to include tougher enemies that actually regenerate health. And some of them will apparently even be flying in the sky overhead, like on aerial rafts or something.
Yeah, that picture on the Zelda website is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. And then there's going to be, as you'd expect, a bunch of new equipment. There's going to be a Korok mask that will vibrate when there are Koroks nearby to help you collect those seeds. And then there's going to be an actual Majora's mask you can wear, a Midna's helmet you can wear, a Phantom armor set from Phantom Hourglass, and even a Tingle outfit.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, a Tingle outfit. Personally, all sounds good, and I wish I had those features now, especially the map stuff.
How do you feel in particular about Tingle's tights?
You know, to each their own. To each their own. That's really all I can say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I like that it's kind of a nod to all the old games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love all the old classic outfits that they've already got in there that you can get through Amiibo. So this all is in line with that, and I think it's fantastic.
And Lord knows that Korok mask is needed, because finding all 900 of those, that's a steep task.
Yes, yes, indeed. Of course, in addition to that, there is also the second round of Breath of the Wild DLC that's going to be coming later in the year. So we'll also have that to look forward to.
A lot of cool Zelda stuff.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's lots of good stuff on Switch as well as Wii U. But there's also apparently something else exciting in the works to look forward to on 3DS if the rumors are true. Supposedly, there is a Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga DX game in the works, according to a user who was digging around on Nintendo's eShop servers. This hacker, for lack of a better term, found only the name and alleged icon, but that's basically how people found out about Twilight Princess HD months before it was ever released, and so I'd say there's a very good chance that this is true, and that would mean that there is probably an enhanced version of the first Mario & Luigi game on the way.
It's one of those things where when this kind of stuff happens, you kind of can't help but feel a little sketched out because somebody's poking around in files. At the same time, you know, usually it turns out to be true. So in this case, I'm looking forward to it. It was a fun game originally, and I'm sure it'll be even better in the DX version.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great game. I would love to play it again with a fresh coat of paint. So let's cross our fingers, hope this rumor is totally true, because I think a new version of that title would be excellent.
Cool.
That's all we've got for the news this week, so why don't we take an intermission, and then we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is what we want to see at the Universal Nintendo theme parks. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is what we want to see at the upcoming Universal Nintendo theme parks. Of course, Nintendo announced that they were in this partnership with Universal a while back. We know they're doing some very creative things involving Mario and friends, but they really haven't announced too many details. The first theme park is scheduled to open at Universal in Osaka in 2020, followed by Nintendo areas in the theme parks at Orlando and Hollywood. It's still a long ways off, but we figured, what the heck, let's just throw out some ideas and think about what we would like to see once this Nintendo theme park actually comes to fruition.
I mean, I'm giddy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it should be very exciting, and there's, you know, like, almost no limit to the kinds of things they could come up with. So that's what we're doing. We're not going to worry about limits or costs or whether it's realistic or not. Right. Just throw out some ideas and, you know, hopefully some of them will come true. I think the first one, the most obvious one, the one that is actually rumored to be happening, is very appropriate for this podcast, considering we opened talking about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and that is some sort of Mario Kart racing attraction, whether you'd actually be racing the carts or just, you know, sort of going around the track in, you know, cart-shaped vehicles. Either way, it would be pretty cool. And according to the rumor, they're developing some sort of technology so that the vehicles could swing and spin and rotate. So you really get that whole power slide feeling going on.
A little Tokyo Drift action or something?
More like Toad Speedway Drift, I would say. But yeah, I mean, that would probably be the first thing that would come to mind. I mean, that makes the most sense when it comes to Nintendo and theme parks. It's like Mario Kart is basically the perfect thing to transform into a ride. I mean, it is basically an interactive thrill ride when you're playing the game with, you know, the crazy courses and the hills and all that jazz. It's perfect, and that does seem like a great way to go.
Yeah, do you imagine this would be something similar to like a hybrid where you kind of have a screen plus the experience? Or do you think it would just be purely offline? You know, you're not looking at any digital screen and instead it's all happening around you in real time.
I would not want to have a screen. I would want it to just be real, like you're really racing around some of these courses from the Mario Kart game. I think that would be, you know, way better, way more effective, and it would really let you live the experience. I mean, I've seen what's like, you know, racing around a Mario Kart track on a screen. I can do that at home, but to race around a real track and, you know, really take those curves and ride up those hills, I think that's what the benefit of this is. And so if I were them, I would just focus on the thrill ride aspect, not any sort of digital presentation.
I agree with you. I think that's pretty cool. And when you consider some of the things that they've done in recent Mario Karts, there could be some really cool interactions. For example, flying, you know, you jump off a cliff and then all of a sudden the little parachute on your car activates, or you, you know, maybe head underwater and it looks like an underwater theme area.
If there was a way to pull that off, I mean, I don't think you'd really be going underwater, but you know, they put you in a tube or something where you can see the water on both sides. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that would be fantastic. There's a lot of stuff they can do. Plus, you know, with the anti-gravity type of stuff, if you're, you know, sort of riding up a wall for a little bit, that could be really cool as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That would be great.
So, yeah, there's lots of good stuff they could do with that. But from there, I think that the next game I would like to see turned into a ride would be Luigi's Mansion. You know, your prototypical haunted house, you know, sort of like they have at Disneyland, but with all of the Mario and Luigi bells and whistles and their goofy kind of ghosts. And Luigi running around with his poltergeist and all that jazz. I think it'd be really, really fun. I mean, I've always loved the Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing something like that, but with Nintendo themes would be really, really great. I don't expect the ghosts would be singing in this case. But still, there's so many fun, creative, cool ghosts in the game. You know, I love the little ghost puppy. I think that'd be fun to see him, you know, prowling around the mansion and stuff like that. Ghost popping out of the furniture, armor coming to life, and of course, you'd have to pay a visit to Professor Egad. And I just see it, you know, working kind of like the way that the Haunted Mansion does. Just, you know, going through this mansion, taking it all in, taking in the atmosphere, seeing all the cool scenery and creatures and all that jazz.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, it's funny, as you're talking about that, you know, I haven't really even thought of that, but it's a great idea. Yeah, I don't know if you've had a chance to try the, there's a Toy Story Midway Mania ride at Disneyland, Disney World.
Yeah, I have tried that indeed.
And they do this really cool thing where it's sort of like, you know, I mentioned it earlier on the Mario Kart one, but it's sort of a hybrid, you know, you have...
Well, it's basically an interactive shooting gallery. So you're going through this ride, but you're firing your fake weapons at you know, all these targets that are moving around.
Yeah. Right. It's a little bit like an arcade game, but with this Haunted Mansion, I would almost want to see, you know, if there was a Luigi's Mansion version, I would almost want to see the same where it's not necessarily like an arcade game, but as you're going through, you can, you know, there's ghosts you can interact with a vacuum cleaner. You know, you can suck up coins and try to catch ghosts and even work with people in the cart next to you or something. I think there could be an element of that that would actually be pretty cool for this ride in particular.
Yeah, I can see that. Actually, that does sound like a lot of fun when you say it, because I have done the Toy Story Midway Mania ride, and man, in a lot of ways, just the way you're constantly flicking and firing, it is actually really stressful for me. It's like, man, this is intense. I'm wearing out my arm here. So I'm not sure it works in all cases, but what you're saying about Luigi ride and, you know, just... you know, sucking things up with a vacuum cleaner virtually could be a lot of fun. But I was thinking of that same sort of idea, that same point and shoot concept combined with a ride, I thought would work really, really well for a Splatoon-themed ride.
Ah, I like what you did there.
Because I think that's one where, you know, the shooting element is really, really important. I think to take that out of the ride would be a disservice to the property. And, you know, doing something with virtual paint, you know, with screens, making it digital obviously is a lot better than actually, you know, squirting paint around like that. So, you know, racing around, trying to, you know, hit the enemies with these screens, aiming for targets, shooting your fake paint, I think could be an awful lot of fun. And considering how popular Splatoon has been recently, right, and it's like, you know, their hottest new IP in ages, I think it would make a lot of sense to capitalize on that and make sure they put something Splatoon related into the theme park.
That's cool. I'm with you. I also think that, you know, Splatoon, they kind of created this little like hub and world that it takes place in. And I think if part of the park had some element of that, that'd be fun too, you know. And plus, that gives an opportunity for a giant cat mascot. And I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, I suppose you make a good point there. Although, if I were going to transform a large part of the park into like a central hub that just, you know, captured the essence of any particular game, I mean, it's pretty clear they're doing that with Mario. But if I was going to do that with any franchise in addition to Mario, it would absolutely be The Legend of Zelda. And with The Legend of Zelda's renewed popularity thanks to Breath of the Wild, I want this even more than ever. And I could see it going in a lot of different directions. I mean, first of all, you know, obviously, Nintendo loves Zelda. They invested a ton into Breath of the Wild. And I would like to see Nintendo and Universal invest a lot into a really high production value ride. Kind of like what they've done with their biggest and best rides of the theme park, like they've done with some of the Harry Potter rides. I want to see them do something that's a thrill ride combined with CG. You're just sort of taking you through the adventure where you're racing or galloping across Hyrule, fighting enemies, journeying to the various high points, you know, pursuing or fleeing from enemies, battling bosses. I mean, imagine some of that stuff that happens in Breath of the Wild, like when you're trying to fight the divine beasts. You know, you're riding on a fish man's back, and you're launching into the air and shooting at its weak spots.
Hey, spoilers.
Or the part where... you know, you're chasing after horsey fatback, and you're trying to shoot out the feet to make it stop. Or the part with the big flying divine beast, and you're having to do that part where you're hovering in the sky. I think all of that stuff would transform amazing into some sort of, you know, CG-heavy thrill ride where you're seeing that stuff on the screen, but, you know, getting all the actual, you know, motion from moving through some sort of roller coaster type ride.
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong if a Zelda-themed area was open and done right, that would probably convince me to go on its own. That just has me very excited, the idea of being able to sort of be in the Zelda universe. I'm imagining also, like, outside of the park, I think you mentioned this too, having, you know, an area of the park with that Zelda theme.
Yeah.
Just having, like, the Master Sword on a pedestal that I can pull out, like, that's amazing. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, that ride would just be the tip of the iceberg for me. I mean, I would want to have like an actual castle or town area, and they'd maybe have like some, you know, some old-fashioned carnival-style Barker mini-games that are based on the Zelda games, right. You know, a little
slingshot
shooting gallery with, yeah, like the rupees that pop up, yep. You gotta shoot, or bomb chew bowling, somehow they make that into a game.
Maybe there's and a yeah, fishing like you area. Said,
yeah, something like that. I hadn't written that one down, but yeah, that would be a good one. And then in addition to the major roller coaster type attractions, then you'd have some minor ones like a carousel where you know, for the kids, then you can ride a pony around the carousel or, you know, some sort of tingle themed balloon flight thing where, you know, you get into the tingle balloon
and
the arm just
go
up and down and it spins around or something. But then my other big Zelda ride idea would be to do some sort of water ride based on Wind Waker. I mean, every great theme park has to have at least one water ride. And so if you're going to do one based on the Nintendo universe, I think a Wind Waker one where you're riding around in the King of Red Lions could be pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it almost reminds me of like the Peter Pan ride from when I was a kid. That sort of idea of it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, hopefully something a little more action-packed, I think, than the Peter Pan ride.
Yeah, but, I rode that recently. It's not what I remember, but
I rode it recently as well. It's still got some charm to it.
It does.
But, not quite what I want in a Zelda ride, I don't think. And I'm thinking a little more Splash Mountain than Peter Pan.
Totally.
Just in, you know, King of Red Lion-shaped boats and maybe seeing Ganondorf and some monsters and Helmarok instead of Brer Rabbit tied up over the briar patch.
Now that you mention that, I would say that, you know, as much as I think that's cool, a Wind Waker themed might be a little bit of a stretch, only because Wind Waker,
a little bit,
you know, is one of the redheaded stepchildren of the Zelda series. I love it, but what I would think would lend itself well to a water ride would be something like Donkey Kong Country.
You know, it's interesting. I thought of that. I considered that.
Yeah, just with the theme music, you can imagine, you know, seeing Donkey Kong swing by, Diddy Kong hanging out with pals, all the different...
Yeah, I mean, a water ride through the jungle would make a lot of sense, and it would work really well with the Donkey Kong Country universe.
Yeah, and you can just kind of imagine that whole theme coming to life, the music.
I can.
The characters.
I completely agree. But then something occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized, no, the only way you can do Donkey Kong Country properly is on a minecart ride.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
You're right.
I mean, the water idea is good, but then when you realize it has to be a minecart,
it does have
that's
to be
like
a
the only way to go.
It does, and it has to get air in the middle of it.
Yes. Somehow you have to start plummeting to your demise and switching to a different minecart. Not sure how they'd figure that one out, but it should probably be in there.
Hopefully they'll photograph you right as that happens so that
yes,
you look
definitely.
Terrified.
Yeah. But speaking of properties that need to have a really exciting roller coaster type thrill ride, I would love to see a Metroid ride where you're trying to escape the planet before it explodes.
I can't even talk about this because that would just be so amazing. It's hard to even really contemplate what that could be like, but you're spot on.
I just imagine it sort of being like Space Mountain, only as you're you know, racing through the darkness, you're seeing you know, Kraid or Ridley or Mother Brain and lots of you know, special effects explosions going off as you try to race back to your ship. You know, something that'd be really short, really exciting. You know, would only last, who knows, you know, 60, 90 seconds, something like that. But that's another one that could really pack in a lot of thrills and really convey the excitement of what the game is all about.
I totally agree. And I'm actually thinking of, I don't know if you've been to Star Tours, but it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you were boarding, if you were waiting to board Samus's ship and they had a really cool themed area, that would be awesome. You got like a...
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point.
A life-size Chozo statue or... Yeah, you know, things of that nature where you're, you know, just kind of sucked into that universe, man, I would go nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
You know, it's a little bit of a stretch, but I think a F-Zero themed ride, if Mario Kart wasn't going to be the star attraction, I think F-Zero, again, a little bit of a property that's underutilized, but equally kind of focused on Fast and Furious driving mechanic. I think it could lend itself really well to a roller coaster ride, especially one of those ones that kind of defies gravity and goes up like a vertical wall and does a U-turn, comes straight back down.
Yeah, totally. I could see that really being like the hardcore roller coaster enthusiast adult ride. Something inspired by F-Zero X where it's got like these corkscrew spirals and things like that. That could be really, really cool.
Right. As long as they're blasting like Big Blue in my ear while I'm playing.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. Like you suggested, Mario Kart will probably just eat its lunch instead. But yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I'd like to see something done with Fire Emblem, but I have no idea what. Maybe it's just a stage show or something.
I was just recently thinking about that. Do you remember when the Fire Emblem games just didn't exist in the US?
I do indeed.
It's kind of hard to believe that we've come so far that, like, there's a chance that it could be part of a theme park.
Yeah, whatever they did, they did it right, because it has, you know, blossomed into one of Nintendo's big success stories recently.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a great franchise. I would love to see anything themed Fire Emblem. All right, this might be a little baby game for babies, but an Animal Crossing themed section for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Could actually be really fun and cute. And
totally. Like a playground or something?
Yeah, like you go turn in stuff to Blathers and, you know, decorate a museum or something. You have your own little house to hang out in.
Yeah, I can certainly see just, you know, interactive houses, maybe like a really, you know, small, low-speed roller coaster aimed at the kids, as well as like a slide or a jungle gym or maybe sort of a little fun house with a ball pit that has that Animal Crossing aesthetic. Great idea. Great idea.
Thanks.
And, you know, I brought up this property a little earlier in the show, so maybe it's just on the brain today, but I would also like to see them do something with Elite Beat Agents.
Now you're stretching it there.
And, you know, that could also be a stage show where they have the Elite Beat Agents, you know, come out on stage and, you know, sing at designated times. Or maybe they just randomly walk around the park, and anytime they hear somebody say, "Help!" you know, suddenly the Elite Beat Agents just run up to you and they will sing all your troubles away.
I think you are just looking for work.
That's beside the point. Regardless, I think that something Elite Beat Agents, realistic or not, would be awesome to have in a theme park.
Agreed.
Well, anything else come to mind?
Maybe something Kirby related. I mean, I might not be into it, but I could imagine the kids loving Kirby.
Yeah, and it does sort of seem to be one of Nintendo's top properties, so I wouldn't be surprised if there was something Kirby related. But Kirby is kind of a calm and relaxing type of game. I'm not sure how well it would lend itself to something for a theme park. But yeah, they probably should have something based on that.
Yeah, or they could always have a Box Boy ride.
Probably not. One thing I really would want to see, though, is just to have, like, an actual arcade. Actual games. Like, give people a chance to actually play the games all this stuff is based on. Have an arcade where you can actually play Nintendo's classics. You can actually play the original arcade Donkey Kong. Play the original Punch-Out. Play the ancient Popeye game that nobody remembers even exists anymore. You know, games is what this whole thing is all about. And I think that would be like a crucial ingredient that I would really, really love to see incorporated into this theme park.
You're not wrong. That actually is pretty cool. But my personal takeaway for this, more than anything, I would just like to see some Nintendo-themed food. Like,
I've thought of that as well.
Have some Fire Flower Ice Cold Pop or something. Have a Triforce Burger. I don't know.
I would want to eat some of the actual food from the games. So, like, Princess Peach's cake, or Orton pumpkin soup, or perhaps super spicy curry. Maybe that's how Kirby comes
in. A megaton tomato, yes, I don't know.
Ooh, or better yet, you could like punch open part of a wall and like find a delicious roast inside that you just eat for free. All right, well, I think we have beaten this topic into the ground, but hopefully at least some of those ideas actually do come to fruition in the upcoming theme parks when they debut in the next several years.
When that happens, maybe we'll go together.
Yes, we will be sure to go on Bring Your Nemesis to the Theme Park Day.
Probably not.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for this week's episode. But you know, before we go, we still have time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Kid Kool. This is the fastest-paced video game anywhere. A race against the clock that only lightning-quick reflexes can win. 3 days. That's all that's left to bring back the 7 Wonder Herbs from the evil Empire of Draxor and save King Voldem. The diabolical Crown Prince of Draxor has sent out a hellish army to guard them. Now he waits at the gates of the kingdom to lay it waste when the quest fails. The only ones with a chance to get through are Kid Kool and you. You and the kid are up against an assortment of enemies and obstacles that would turn most youngsters green. To get past them, all you have are furry friends called Wikis and your magic jumping shoes.
That's not real.
Whatever happens, you've got to keep moving, But most of all, you've got to keep cool.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Have you ever played that game?
I'm actually looking at images of it right now, and I definitely have. I think I thought of it as a Kid Icarus knockoff. It definitely has some Kid Icarus.
It's got Kid in the title.
Well, if you look at it, the graphics are very Kid Icarus-ish.
Well, I've never played it myself, so I can't really comment. But I will tell you one thing. That character looks anything but cool.
It's funny how this is a game that's a perfect example of the box art looking completely different than what the actual game looks like.
I know, completely. They are trying really hard to convince themselves this guy is cool. Guess what? He's not.
This is another example of the back of the box being nothing like the actual game and trying to like make it sound as cool as possible.
Yes, cool being the operative word there.
Localization person totally earning their keep on that one.
Did they? Because magical furries and jumping shoes sound anything but cool to me. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter, at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud,
Chris Look, a new amiibo,
and our good friend, Emperor Andross,
you can never defeat me.
We will see you next time.